This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Barry, I've been looking on Wikipedia about coup. Did you know that there were three types of coups in Bridge?
A chicken coup?
No. Deceptive, illegal coups and pure coups. There's one called the Grosvenor Gambit. You know lots about that, don't you?
People are wondering what coups are. Probably the most simplest coup to explain is the one they call the Bath coup. That is when you've got ace-jack-x of a suit. So you've got ace-jack-six of spades, and they lead the king of spades against you.
Mm-hmm.
And play low from dummy. They play low, and you play low, hoping that they're going to carry on, and you'll win a trick with your ace and your jack. That's called the Bath coup. It's nothing to do with your car. It's not called the Falcon coup. The Bath coup is an example of what a coup is, where you sort of get the opponents to do something wrong to give you an extra trick. Well, the Bath coup is the simplest one to explain. After that, it gets trickier. I mean, there's many different coups. Trump coups, which is when you get a bad trump break. Somebody's got four trumps and you can't pick them all up. You try to shorten your trumps to the same length as the person that's got the four trumps. When you play a card from dummy at the end, they're forced to rough and you can over rough and you end up not losing a trump trick. It's a trump coup. It's a reasonably common one. There's lots of things like scissors coups and stepping stone coups. What other sort of coups have you got there, Mariana? Anyone with clever names?
I like the Morton's Fork.
Yeah. These coups, they've all got flash names and all sound brilliant when you do them, but in reality is the damn things only come up about once every blue moon.
The Vienna coup, which is the act of cashing an ace opposite the queen, or more generically, an immediate winner opposite a menace, in order to enable a squeeze to work on either opponent. So that would potentially be cashing an ace, and then you've got queen third on the table and you play up to the queen, yeah? Forcing them to either duck if they've got the king or play the king.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, I don't think our listeners need to worry about it. If you never execute a scissors coup or a Vienna coup or a Morton's Fork in your whole bridge playing career, you'll probably do just fine. They don't come up often enough. It's, you know, they're a lot of fun when they happen, and bridge geeks get a lot of pleasure out of saying, oh, that was a scissors coup, or it was, but in reality, they don't happen that often, Mariana.
So what's your history with the Grosvenor's coup?
Well, the Grosvenor coup, the Grosvenor Gambit it's called actually, is one that I quite like because it's a lot of fun. It's a psychological play in which the opponent is purposely given the chance to gain one or more tricks, and often even to make the contract. But to do so, he must for his opponent to have acted illogically or incorrectly. In other words, like an idiot, right? Thus, the opponent likely ends up blaming himself for not taking advantage of the opportunity presented. It doesn't actually gain a trick. What it's intended to do is to, on future hands, the opponents lose concentration because they're taken in by this thing and they keep going back over this lunatic play that you made, and they lose concentration and maybe you gain later on. It's quite a story. The Gambit was named after Philip Grosvenor, who was a fictional character in a short story by Frederick Turner published in the Bridge World. He first discovered it accidentally and over time developed its theory and deployed it deliberately. The story depicts him as often frustrated by opponents who are too obtuse to fall for his ruse. Anyway, the bit that I was going to say I like, but you couldn't really like that. Anyway, Grosvenor's lifeless body is eventually found bludgeoned to death, his dealing fingers broken shortly after a bridge tournament in which he used his gambit against the wrong opponents. So, yes, I guess I shouldn't be laughing at this. But it didn't really happen, Mariana, but it's just such a great story.
Very good.
I'll just say, if you're going to try the Grosvenor Gambit, just be careful. Who knows? You might end up in the bottom of the harbour.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
G'day, we're with Judge Julie and she's firing today.
Yep, we want to talk to Judge Julie about what is a shortage of directors. And I don't mean they're all 4 foot two. a lot of clubs, including Hamilton, whenever we ask people to train as directors or whatever, or even the ones that have directed, Seems to be a bit of a mission, Julie, and New Zealand Bridge are a bit worried about this.
5'3", thank you, not 4'2". Every little bit helps, just keep that in mind. I directed a tournament this weekend at North Shore, and I have had people talking to me recently, and all of them are saying how hard it is to find anyone to direct. And this isn't necessarily tournaments. Tournaments are where it's going to hit really badly, but just for club. And we don't know why people don't want to direct. It's not about being a good player, all right? It's probably about interest in people, wanting to help people, and learning a bit about the laws of the game. So I learned in Palmerston North from Brian Northcutt, who directed at Palmerston North Club, and apparently directed there before he even learned to play bridge. But he did do refereeing for other things. And I know Ari Gerson refereed hockey, I think it was. I learned in about 6 months after I'd learned to play, he asked for volunteers the Army way to direct on the senior night. And I was left standing by myself with everyone behind me, I think. I'm not too sure exactly how it happened.
Shorty's at the front.
I was about 25 years old. I had only just finished beginner's lessons. So whilst I was enthused with the game, I didn't really know anything about the laws of the game or anything. And here I was going to direct on the senior night in Palmerston North. And that sounds really scary, but interestingly enough, directing the senior night is really good because they know the rules better than you do. So it's a good starting place because you can't really make a mistake.
Memory test, Julie, how many tables were there?
Oh, probably about 10 or 11, I suppose. Might have been 13. Right.
Yep.
Back
15,
in the day,
The movement was sort of organised for me, which a lot of clubs do nowadays anyway. We had scoring on a calculator sort of style, where you could put the scores in for every table and it printed out the results, but it took a fair while. We were lucky. A lot of clubs did it manually at that point. So I learned to direct. I went down to Christchurch about 4 or 5 years after. And when I arrived in Christchurch, I wanted to direct and they had enough directors. But after a while, somebody said to me about doing it and I was over the moon because you actually got some money for directing, whereas the rest of the time it had been voluntary. And I had some wonderful people like Brian was in Palmerston North who I could ask questions and who would help me. I know we have people like that, even if they're a phone call away, but I'd really like to emphasise it is not about being a good player. It has got nothing to do with your ability to play the game. If we have things that come up that involve what may or may not have happened at the table with a particular hand, we can ask people. We can poll them. We can get on the phone to somebody anywhere in the country and ask them. We have stuff on New Zealand Bridge that you can sit and learn the laws so that you can get yourself familiar with them, which would be great for most players in the country to have some idea about what the laws are. But we'd really just love to know what we can do in any way to get people actually directing at their club and maybe learning a little bit without even worrying about the wider frame, which is tournaments and that later on. If you want to say something, email Bridge Zone, but also let Alistair Stuck, the Secretary of New Zealand Bridge, know. Contact New Zealand Bridge and say why it is that you've thought about directing, but you've decided not to. What is it that we can do to make it easier? Because I really enjoy directing. I enjoy the meeting of people, being able to help them with the game and about the game. And I think it's very rewarding. And I can say how rewarding. I wrote a book quite a few years ago about Patrick's Movements by Julie Atkinson, which was a wonderful title, wonderfully proofread by Claire Whittle, which has a lot of movements in it and how they work. And when I was directing at North Shore, one of the movements I wanted was a 9 rounds for 16 tables. And they organised for that to go into Compass, the scoring program. And the person that was scoring for me, who was lovely, Pauline, she said to me, I can show you where I found the information from. It's in this book. And I said, that's all right. I wrote the book. When am I ever going to say that again?
That's me. Well, I know a couple of reasons people probably don't direct is. One is that if they've allocated two nights of play, you know, two nights a week, that directing would take up one of their nights of actually playing. So it could be one of them. And like you've mentioned, the scoring. Barry, you're a prime example. You're happy to direct, but you don't want to have anything to do with the scoring program. And sometimes it can be a bit of a bastard when it goes all wrong.
That's true. The scoring, particularly electronic scoring and things like that, not only do you need to know how to lay the room out, sometimes stuff goes wrong with the computer, but there are people that are at the club that will know how to score. Yep. And interestingly enough, I was having this conversation because with TeamViewer, which is free, you can actually just about do the scoring remotely at a club. And I do agree. I know that in the past when scoring was different, we didn't have tablets and that clubs used to have movement sheets and the people that directed would come along and it would all be done for them. And in some parts of the country, the scoring is separate and done separately from directing. If that's an issue, that might be one of the things that needs to be sort of looked at so that the person learning doesn't have that additional problem of learning something else to be able to do it. There are barriers. We want to remove barriers to simple directing, I would think.
I did used to direct most weeks at Hamilton years ago, and I even did the club director's exam, not that that's a big deal, but I did do that. But then the scoring program was such a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
I just couldn't be bothered trying to do it. So, and there were two of us that were directing quite a lot at the time, and they just said to us, oh, the scoring is really easy. It's a piece of cake. And we both said, oh, yeah, right. And so as a result, neither of us have directed for at least the last 10 years. We're both still playing at the club.
Yeah.
And I do think it's an issue because lots of things seem to go wrong with the scoring, even though it's supposed to be really easy.
Yeah, well, there's always technical glitches. And one of the things I found out on the weekend was apparently that sometimes you get the tablets timing out and it's an Android issue with Google or something like that. I don't know the exact details. But I said to Patrick, because we have this happen at times, and when we were doing Easter, in the teams, we had to go around and restart a lot of tablets because all of a sudden there was this glitch, right? And it does, it just makes it harder. So there are things about that might be things to think about for clubs and club administrators or committees in general about when you're learning, it's hard enough as it is to actually get around the room and deal with people, especially when you're nervous, without having the added problem of scoring programs. Maybe we need to facilitate some way.
I know at the Hamilton Bridge Club, on one of our nights, we have somebody that does the scoring. The other sessions, the director has to do all the scoring as well.
Yeah, a lot of Auckland clubs get the scoring done later, I think. Though probably you can't do that with tablets actually anymore. So maybe that's different. We used to get it done later. Maybe it's about having access. So somebody at the club who knows how to score and someone else that directs, because separating those two, they are getting more of a separation as time goes on at the moment.
Not only do you have to do the scoring, the scores all have to go online and they've got to go to X club or whatever they do, and you've got to push a button for this and that. So it's not all about just scoring.
No, it's not. There are three parts to directing. There always used to be. There's the scoring. And part of directing is choosing the movement so that you get everybody playing the way you want. Again, there's that side of things, which are the setup and the running of it from that side. And then there's the directing, which is facilitating the game and making it relaxed. So dealing with slow play, making sure that the boards go around and answering any of the calls. There are three parts, and two of those parts, the movement structure and the scoring structure, seem to be things that cause issues. I know that we've had problems with the way people are treated, but I know that also in the past we've always had problems with the way people speak to you at various points. So it feels like there's something else that's just creating that barrier.
What about payment, Julie? I mean, I know that there are some quite big clubs that still, you know, they have volunteer directors who don't get paid at all.
I don't know whether the amount of being paid is necessarily an issue. It probably is from minimum wage issues. One of the things that was really clear when Patrick and I, who started directing both of us about the same time, was that Auckland, CD, and Canterbury had the most people that were going through and becoming good qualified directors. And they were also the areas that gave at least some form of payment. And recognition.
Yep.
The other thing that payment does is you are doing a job and therefore you should be professional. And the other one is that it tells your club members that the people that are directing have worth, they have value, and they should be respected. So there's a lot of stuff around when you pay people as opposed to volunteers about, you know, I've got to be there at a certain time, I've got to dress appropriately, I'm not allowed to smack hands and be rude to people. Well, at least I'm not meant to be, perhaps. And that you're doing a job and you should be doing it well because you are getting something for it. It is not just you volunteering as you feel like. And equally, your club members know that you've got, as I said, you've got worth. And people that have worth are generally worth respect. So I think there is a lot around payment, not necessarily large payments. But I definitely think there is something around payment that creates a statement about what is happening and what we expect. I mean, it might just be me that thinks that. As I said, I mean, we'd be really interested to know. And we'd love to know about what we could or couldn't do to make
Is the director's exam hard?
Well,
could that be a reason?
Yeah, well, we've got an aging population, like me.
Yeah.
And people are less keen on sitting exams and things. The current system, which has been revised over a reasonable period of time now, is that there's like the car license where you can see the questions and you can do them. And,
open book, right.
Yep. Yeah, open book sort of. Well, it's always been open book anyway, was the law book. You know, getting practice at seeing what the questions are and things. So we're trying to make that side of things easy. Alan Joseph has done courses up and down the North Island at the very least. We did used to do those a few while ago before him, but perhaps not as much. So there is stuff that is being done, but it's about people being interested, just interested. And so if everyone's interested, a certain number of those people will actually learn. But at the moment, so we just don't seem to get that.
That exam you're talking about is the club director's exam more than the tournament one, I guess, is it? Or
Well, the club director's exam, after it was set up, I actually did the exam questions for a period of time, and then Lorraine's done them for quite a reasonable period of time. And it's about the common laws. And the idea is that when you get called to the table at club in particular, you need to know the revoke law, lead out a turn, those simple things that happen, and you need to make a decision quickly so play can continue. The more complex stuff isn't so bad because you've got time to go away and think about it. There is a time limit on being familiar with the laws. And the interesting thing is that if you are directing at a club, you will actually do better in the exam because you know that you learn these laws because you're referring to them all of the time. Okay.
So are you allowed to buddy direct? Do you have to sit the exam first before you actually direct at the club, or can you learn as you go and then?
At the club, you can learn as you go.
Right.
All right. I mean, most clubs, there will be people that have directed. Some of them may not be as familiar with the new set of laws because they get changed every 10 years as they may have been, but they will still be useful about what you have to do. And if you've got a problem about getting assistance while you're there, that's why the senior nights are great. It feels scary because these are good players and you're not. They know the laws, you don't. And here you are telling them what to do. All right.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong particularly because there's other people there that will help you know that you've gone wrong. So you can get help. If you're directing a junior session or something like that, you're not getting any help at all because no one knows. Okay.
Yeah. So, what about people like Barry? Do they have revision, or once a director, always a director?
At the moment, sort of being once a director, always a director. We like people to keep up, and there are things about that we have talked about at various times about being up to date with the current laws and the current regulations so you know what is happening, as opposed to being not quite so aware because of these changes. But again, there are seminars and there's information that is given out when the new law books come out, and a whole raft of things for us to look at about the way we interpret and we get that from New Zealand.
So when these new rules come out, Barry, do you dive in there and get yourself up to date?
I get weekly training on the Judge Julie segment of Bridgestone.
And actually, in all fairness, if he doesn't get it there, he gets it every time he sits at the table when we're playing in teams or when he's playing us.
Right. I mean, I have heard our listeners say that the Judge Julian Bailiff's portion on the Bridgestone is very informative. So we're probably helping a lot of people. If you've got a question, send it in, bridgestoneshuffle@gmail.com.
And if you've got a reason why you want to direct but you don't, let us know and let New Zealand Bridge know. We really would like to know.
I've got another possible reason, and Mariana, just watch Julie's eyes roll when I mention it. Playing directors.
Yeah, I mean,
aside from anything else, a lot of clubs have playing directors when they only have small sessions. It's bloody hard playing and directing. Maybe that's
100%. In Marlborough, I used to play and direct. And we were lucky in Marlborough because we had quite a few people that could direct. So we had three or four people, which makes it easier because if you've got more than a couple, when they call, if they say the board number when they call the director, it means that a director that's played that board might be able to go.
Right, yeah.
I'm lucky because if I do it now, most of the simple stuff I can do without looking at the card. So it won't affect me and I can do it fairly quickly. But in general, if you're a playing director and you answer a call at a table, you can't play the board because you've seen the cards, you've seen the option, you've seen far too much. And the other thing is your concentration levels for you playing, it's diabolical. So the people that play and direct do an amazingly good job. Because it is really hard and they really do give up how well they will do in a session because they are helping other people. So they deserve a lot of kudos for what they do.
Yeah.
I agree. It'd be interesting to know just how bad the scores are of the playing directors compared to...
Well, I think the hardest thing is that your partner sits there and goes,
up and down, up and down.
You're halfway through six diamonds doubled or something and somebody calls you for a lead out of turn.
Yeah, what you're doing there is you're saying, can anyone else get that call?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if it's not making, you might be saying, sorry, excuse me, really quick.
Yeah.
But you're playing and directing really, really hard.
Difficult thing to do. So. And if you're not a very fast player, it's probably a whole lot worse.
I think it would be interesting if the listeners tell us what their club's doing, how their club is getting on top of, well, if they're getting on top of increasing director numbers, and if they don't, what's the problem? Yeah. That would be awesome.
Well, as I said, we know a lot of clubs are having problems, but we aren't finding out what the barriers are so we can help remove them or change things so we can provide assistance to see what we can do to make it easier, all right?
Maybe the Hamilton Club's lucky. I don't think we're too badly off for directors, Mariana.
We have a pool, but the pool, it's stayed the same. It hasn't grown. And we do make a contribution. So if they, like for tournament director, we contribute X amount of dollars for their travel. And if they're successful, we give them X amount of dollars as well as a thank you for you, because you're going to be giving back to the club. So we do give them a decent amount financially to get that.
Yeah.
I think we're probably better off than a lot of clubs by numbers.
Yeah. Right. In Christchurch, we were lucky when I was down there, we did a program because it was big enough that we needed more than one person. And so whoever was directing, we could have a second person learning, right?
Right.
If people are interested and you have the ability to have somebody for them to come along and do stuff with somebody else, that really is optimum. Because you can see how they feel and what they're doing. We have people that are always available to ask. We have a lot of people around the country that you can contact and talk to. I know Patrick and I are both really happy to answer questions all the time, but we're not the only ones. But as I said, if you want to email into us, email into Secretary of New Zealand Bridge, Alistair, and just say what it is you thought you might like to direct, but you decided not to. What is the reason that you didn't? Because that's the thing we need to fix.
Mm.
Maybe they have directed and they're no longer directing. What? Maybe they could tell us that too.
Or maybe they could help other people learn.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Anyway.
Can we go back to the normal Judge Julie now?
Yes, you can.
I'm pretty sure everyone gets this. This is about the board not being in the middle of the table. A lot of people move it round and round and you try and put it back in the middle and then they grab it and they stick it. What do you do?
It used to be in or near the centre of the table. The law is now that it has to be in the centre of the table. That was brought about by cheating stuff, something about the way boards were positioned, that was debatable. So the board must be in the centre of the table. Now, I know that we have people at the club who have eyesight issues, and so they will put their hand close to their partner when it's dummy or things like that, which means moving the board around. I'm not saying that that can't happen, but the board must always stay the way it was, the direction, and it must never leave the table. And that is because if the board goes off the table and it comes back onto the table the wrong way round, or it gets moved around and you turn it around by any way at all, the cards get put back into the wrong pockets. And now the hands are not identical to the way it is played in every other part of the room. So the most common thing is people turn the board so it's the opposite facing way from north-south, it faces south-north, right? And you put the cards back and everyone says, but the contracts are the same and the blah, blah, blah. But the bidding might not be the same because the deal is different. Right. And the boards, it is not identical. It has been changed by 180 degrees. And so the result is not going to stand.
Oh, okay.
It is a real pain. It's because we play the same boards all the way around the room. And we need the board to maintain that it's got to be exactly the same every time it is played around the room. So okay. It needs to stay bang in the middle of the table so the cards go back in the right pockets. So I apologise to my supervised group that I do on Thursday mornings because when they do it, I really react badly. and I say to them, it's because I'm a director and I know what happens when the cards go back in the wrong pocket. So I normally end up apologising for, you know, like there's been an earthquake, but no, the board's just been moved off the table. Keep it on the table, keep it facing the same way. If you have to put your card somewhere because of vision difficulties or whatever the case may be around that, then do so, but make sure that board just stays exactly facing the same way and it stays on the table.
Did you have another question, Barry?
No, I didn't. I think we've probably had our full quota of Judge Julie today. So you better let her go or she won't come back next week.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for that.
Have a good day.
Don't forget, if you've got any feedback whatsoever about directors, the lack of, or if you've got a good program happening at your bridge club, let us know, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com or secretary@nzbridge.co.nz. If you're heading over to Tauranga for the Open Tens,
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
Bye for now.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.